Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning as we have gathered together to worship the Lord and exalt His name. I pray that you enjoyed your snow with your family. I enjoyed mine with my boys. But praise God for His goodness. Praise God that He loves us and that He thinks about us and that He provides for us, that He cares for us. And praise God for everything that He's done, specifically sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, sending His Son to be born in a manger, to grow up and live a perfect life, to die on the bloody cross, to be buried in a tomb, resurrected, ascended, and now He's ruling on high. Praise God for that. Amen. If you're a guest with us, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. We're always excited to have guests with us. If you're a member, praise God for you. Guys, we've been praying for you. I tell you this every week, but know this, that you guys are on our minds all the time. So praying for you guys. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 12. We'll just focus on one verse this morning. When you've arrived to the text, say, word. Can you please stand? Let's stand out of reverence to God's holy word. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophet. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you that you care for us so much, God. We pray that as we contemplate on your love for us, that will stimulate in our hearts our love for you and our love for others. So God, we pray that you help us, God. Help us as we live in a culture that goes against this, that goes against your word, goes against your law, goes against your goodness. But yet we are called to live as citizens, God. That we are called to live in this world worthy of the gospel. So God, we pray that you teach us what we do not know. You make us what we are not, and you give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon, the title of today's sermon is The Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were faced with maybe a decision, a very important moral decision that you had to make, but you just didn't know where to turn to? And at that very moment, you cannot recall maybe a verse that can help you in that very time. And then you're just concerned. You're like, God, I really want to make the right decision. Have you ever found yourself in that particular predicament? Well, I'm here to let you know that in this very text, Jesus has given us a really great answer, or really something that could help us out. And that is the golden rule. Anytime you find yourself in a dilemma where you have to choose the right thing or the wrong thing, or you don't know what is the right or the wrong, my prayer is that you would reflect on the words that Jesus has given us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It is called the golden rule. Now, you won't find in the scripture the phrase golden rule. That's because centuries later, after the Bible was written, the early church called this very text the golden rule, very similarly to the Sermon on the Mount. You won't find in Matthew chapter 5 the phrase Sermon on the Mount. Later on, the early church actually gave it that title. Now, I want you to observe with me that this very text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, is probably the most universally praised statement that Jesus has ever made. I mean, you know the golden rule perhaps from the time you were young. You have heard of this golden rule over and over and over again. It has been called the topmost peak of social ethics. It is called the Everest of ethics. This is where most people go to understand about ethics. Now, just like any other popular passages of scripture in the Bible that people perhaps turn to and they're used to, we find that there is a similar problem. And the similar problem is that we probably have forgotten the true meaning of those passages of scripture, and specifically in this very text. My prayer for you this morning is that you will understand what the golden rule really is about. You will look at it with fresh eyes, with basically a greater passion. You will look at it in context to the Sermon on the Mount. So we've been systematically, expositionally going through the book of Matthew. And I've shared with you before, when you read scripture in context, you fully understand scripture for what it really is. So this morning, one verse, two points. This morning, I want you to answer two questions. Ask and answer two questions. One, what is the golden rule? What is the golden rule? And two, why are we commanded to practice the golden rule? What is the golden rule, and why are we commanded to practice the golden rule? Again, my prayer is, brothers and sisters, that you're ready to engage in the Word of God. I know this, again, like any one of you, we're human beings. We find ourselves distracted. Perhaps you're thinking about the extra hours that you need to work to make money, to buy a gift for your children. Perhaps you're thinking about your bank account that is empty. Perhaps you're thinking about what food you're going to eat after. I want to prepare you, and I want to create a conducive atmosphere so you can learn. Allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart. So put aside all of those presuppositions, perhaps that you have, all of those things that are hindering you right now. Put it aside and just listen to the Word of God. And allow the Spirit of God to work mightily in your own hearts. Amen? Follow with me the first point. First point, what is the golden rule? What is the golden rule? Now, the implication of verses 7 through 11 is made explicit in verse 12. In other words, the perfect love of the Heavenly Father is most reflected in His children when they are loving other people. In other words, I want you to observe with me. To answer the question, what is the golden rule, we need to place this text in view of the context. So in verses 7 through 11, we understand that a Christian lives in a counterculture society, right? Our culture basically is one that explains that we are a family of God. And this is what Jesus has been sharing with us. Several times He refers to our Father, God, as our Father. So we are family of God. God is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is profound, and this is important. And at the center of all of this, because God is our Heavenly Father, we must treat one another with great love. Because God is our Heavenly Father, as He's mentioned in verses 1 through 11, that we, God Himself, when God looks at us, that God gives His children good gifts. God cares for His children. God loves His children. And therefore, we must not be a group of people that are hypocritical, judging one another. We should not treat each other with hate. This is Jesus' point. And then He gets into verse 12, and He gives us the golden rule. Because we are part of this family, treat one another with love and respect and care. You know, I'm a father of three boys. And one of the things that really hurts my heart is when one of my boys treat one of their brothers with disrespect or hate or jealousy or whatever else you want to say. As a father, I want to see my children get along. I want to see my children love one another. And in the same way for our great Father in heaven, that this great God loves to see His children get along. His children love each other. His children care for one another. Verse 12 is a golden rule because it transforms our actions towards one another. See for yourself, and I want you to see this. Come in closer, and I want you to write this down. I want you to think about this. If we are willing to walk in other people's shoes and wish for them what we would wish for ourselves, we would find ourselves loving and not hateful, understanding and not harsh, kind and not cruel. This is what the golden rule is calling us to do. What is the golden rule? It is Jesus' command to call. He's calling us to evaluate our own hearts, and he's calling us to view that we are a part of God's family, and we are called to love one another. We are called to wish good things upon one another, to pray for one another, to care for one another. Now come in close, and I want you to get this. There are similar phrasing in other religions and other philosophical systems that are very similar to that of the golden rule. So we're not the only one that has the golden rule, like one like that. But I want you to observe how other religions say very similar wording. So I say, for example, an ancient Greek king, this is what he wrote. Do not do to others the things which make you angry when you experience them at the hands of other people. It sounds very similar to that of the golden rule. In 20 BC, famous rabbi Hillel, this is what he stated. What is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. In Confucianism, this is what they believe. Do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. In Hinduism, this is what they believe. This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. In Buddhism, this is what they believe. Do not hurt others in ways that you yourself would find hateful. But I want you to observe, every single one of those definitions are in the negative. But Jesus' word is in the positive. I don't want you to miss this. In other words, every single one of these statements, this is what they're saying, do not do anything to anyone that you would not want them to do to you. But Jesus is saying is this, so in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophet. Jesus' word is positive. Now, you might be looking at me right now and saying, Kevin, I really don't see this. What's the big difference? Did Jesus take his words from those ancient religions? Are we saying the same thing as the ancient religions? No, we're not. I want you to observe the main difference. The main difference is, and I shared this with you, one is negative and the other is positive. The ancient religions are teaching behavior such as this. In other words, when you look at what they're saying and you read it, this is the interpretation you get. This is the action that you get. So if you do not enjoy being hated, don't hate anyone. That's what they're saying. If you do not enjoy picking on other people, don't pick on anyone. If you don't enjoy prejudice, don't have prejudice towards others. That's what they're saying. However, Jesus' positive form of the golden rule is saying this to you. If you enjoy love, love others. If you like to receive things, give to others. If you like being appreciated, appreciate others. One is negative and the other is positive. The world's view of the golden rule is negative and passive. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing, it's not asking you to necessarily do anything. Just be passive. Don't do this. Just be passive. However, Jesus' command in the golden rule is calling us to be proactive. Do you get it? One is negative and passive. The other one is positive and proactive. Brothers and sisters, this is why it's negative, and I want you to get this. If still you're not getting this, this is why it's so negative, and this is why it's not good. When you read Hinduism view of the golden rule, or Confucius view of the golden rule, or the Buddhist view of the golden rule, this is what's at the center of it all. It's self. Think about it. Don't hate anyone for the very reason that you don't want them to hate you. So when you're thinking, you're thinking about self-preservation. You're not really thinking about that person. You're thinking that I don't want to receive that kind of hate. I don't want to receive that kind of criticism. I don't want to receive this. So at the center of this negative view of the golden rule is self. It is being very narcissistic. You know, funny thing about narcissism, it came from this man by the name of Narcissus. And he loved watching himself, looking at his reflection in the pool. So therefore, this is how we get this word narcissism from. This is where we get it from. So brothers and sisters, when you look at this negative comment or this negative view of the golden rule, it is all about self. Craig Bloomberg, this is what he mentions. He says this, pay close attention to this. He says, it is negative form, in its negative form, the golden rule could be satisfied by doing nothing. The positive form moves us to action on behalf of others. So the Eastern religions, they're saying, refrain from doing. Jesus is saying, do. The Eastern religions are saying, it is enough to hold your negative behavior in check. Jesus is saying, look for ways to act positive. This is the meaning of the golden rule. This is what the golden rule is. So if self is the problem, and we are called to kill self. Because self will affect everything. When you think about sin itself, it is because of our selfishness that we continue to sin. It is because of our selfish, depraved ways that we find ourselves going away from God. Self is the problem. And the reason why we cannot act out the golden rule is because we're thinking about self. As you notice, all other Eastern religions, philosophical systems, are focused on the negative form of the golden rule. But only Jesus gives us the positive. And here, Jesus calls for us to kill self. Brothers and sisters, we are to move from focusing on ourselves and then move to fixing our eyes on the needs, on the loves, the hopes, the dreams of other people. You want to find true contentment and joy in your life? The secret is this. Build up other people around you. Stop being narcissistic and making everything about you, and start being loving, kind towards others. If you do that, you will find yourself growing in a greater relationship with God. You will find yourself fulfilled and satisfied. This is what the golden rule is saying to you. So as we observe the golden rule, the command to love is what separates the Christian ethic from every other religion. It's the command to love. No other religion calls for us to love the way the Bible calls for us to love, the way God calls for us to love. In our Christian faith, it is when we understand that we have failed before our great God, that we are sinners before our great God, then we cast ourselves to the grace of God that we find true strength. And that's what the golden rule is saying. Trust in God. Trust in this great God. See with me, brothers and sisters, how important this very text is. Notice in the Sermon on the Mount how impossible it is to fulfill anything in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, we read the Sermon on the Mount and we feel like, man, there's no way I can do this. I can't do this. So the Sermon on the Mount is meant to cast you to the grace of God. And the golden rule is doing exactly the same thing. By Jesus making the golden rule positive, he makes it impossible. Do you see that? How am I called to love and care for others like I love myself? This is impossible. But there's only one way you can do it. It is through the love of Jesus Christ. It is understanding his love. It is first allowing God to save you and depositing that agape love in you as you appropriate that love towards others and in your life. By Jesus making this rule positive, he makes it impossible. So as we observe the golden rule, we say to ourselves, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need help to love others like you have loved me. Brothers and sisters, notice with me very carefully that we can only love in a divine way because God himself has first loved us divinely. I'll say it again. We can only love in a divine way because God himself has first loved us divinely. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, this is what it states. It states, we love because he first loved us. And the way that we can actually practice or even do this, the way that we can practice the golden rule in our lives, brothers and sisters, is by allowing the Spirit of God to work in us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Because of the Spirit of God in our hearts, then we are able to appropriate that love towards others. Can I ask you a question? Do you understand the golden rule? When you read the golden rule, do you say to yourself, well, I can do this? Or do you say, God, I need your help to do this? When you observe the golden rule, does it throw you to the grace of God, or does it puff up pride within you? Because the point of the golden rule is to show you of your desperate need for Jesus. To show you that you are called to love people and to care for them. To show you you must kill self to be able to practice the golden rule. So I'm not approaching the golden rule and saying, well, I don't want this brother to hate on me, so I won't hate him. That's not the point. It's self-preservation. I'm not going to hate this brother because I'm commanded to love this brother. I'm not going to pick on this brother because I love this brother. This is what the golden rule is commanded. But notice with me the second question. We've observed what is the golden rule. Now, I want you to see why are we commanded to practice the golden rule. Why are we commanded to practice the golden rule? You see, the golden rule is a fruit of one who has been genuinely converted. This is Jesus' point. This will be an evident mark in your life. If you've been genuinely converted, then you will live out the golden rule. Now, why is Jesus saying that to us? Notice what Christ mentioned, that the golden rule fulfills the law and the prophets. In your own Bibles, this is profound. I don't want you to miss this. So whatever you do, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What does Jesus mean by this is the law and the prophets? Brothers and sisters, pay close attention to this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, is the first time that Jesus mentioned this phrase, the law and the prophets. So at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentions this phrase. And towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus then mentions this phrase. So it's mentioned twice. Matthew chapter 17, verse chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, and now Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is what scholars called an inclusio. An inclusio is basically a device used in writing scripture or writing any kind of letter to express to you something that is bracket in. So we find that the main body, the main theme of the Sermon on the Mount is in between Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, and then Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is the point of this. This is the point to show you that the golden rule fulfills the law and the prophet. It fulfills God's word altogether. It is the sum of God's word. It accomplishes God's word. What a great thing to see. See for yourself, brothers and sisters, how important this is. Because we notice as well that the Apostle Paul shares something very similar. So we see that the golden rule instructs us and how we are to love one another. This is the point, to love one another. And it fulfills the law of God. The Apostle Paul's words, notice what he mentions in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Do you see it? When you love one another, you fulfill the law. And this is Jesus' point. You are fulfilling Scripture. You are fulfilling the Word of God. You are satisfying the Word of God when you love one another, when you care for one another, when you pray for one another, when you edify one another. What great truth. What I like about this as well, brothers and sisters, the golden rule, if you substitute the word rule, and in English, in England, they use the word ruler. And the ruler was a 12, kind of like a 12-inch wood that you would use to create a line. I'm pretty sure we have it here as well. But in St. Lucia, because we're colonized by the British, we had rulers as well. And when you think about a ruler itself is basically used to draw a straight edge. And anything that is crooked, when you put a ruler right next to it, the ruler itself shows how crooked this thing is. So instead of saying the golden rule, let's just substitute and put the golden straight edge. I'm going somewhere with this. This is exactly how we ought to read it. That this golden rule itself shows if we are a believer or not. It shows if we are following Christ or not. It is the straight edge. So we put this golden rule right next to our relationships and we ask ourselves this question. Am I thinking highly of others? Am I praying for others or am I always criticizing, putting down people, not caring for people, judging people? Am I doing this? So when we put the golden rule, which is the straight edge, right next to us, it will show if we're crooked or straight. This is what we must see, brothers and sisters. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, notice what he mentions. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And the golden rule is used in the very same way to show if our relationships are healthy or unhealthy? Are we straight or are we crooked? What great truth that we have. Brothers and sisters, I want you to observe this. As we have understood, and we are understanding in Scripture, that we are called to love one another, and we see the two questions asked in this very text, right? What is the golden rule? The golden rule is simply Jesus' word that we are called as believers to love one another, care for one another, be proactive in all that we do towards one another. And we see in Scripture as well that why are we commanded to practice? Why? Because we are fulfilling the law and the prophet when we practice the golden rule. So in conclusion, I want to ask you a few questions. When you place the golden rule right next to your life, what do you see? Do you see deficiencies? Do you see a judgmental spirit? Or do you see love? Do you see gossip? Or do you see prayer? Do you see a generous heart? Or do you see a malicious heart? Do you see hate or do you see love? You get the picture. Use the golden rule in your own life to stimulate in your heart a passion to love God and to love people. Do not use the golden rule like the lost world is using the golden rule for self-preservation. No, use it because you love God. Use it as a straight edge to see if you are in a healthy relationship or an unhealthy relationship. To see if you are healthy or you are unhealthy. Use it to help you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. A very simple text that express so much power and so much joy. A text that we are familiar with, God, but yet perhaps that we are interpreting the golden rule like the lost world is interpreting the golden rule, practicing the golden rule like the lost world is practicing the golden rule. And when we do so, it's no longer golden. It's no longer valuable. But let us see what Christ is saying to us. Give us a greater passion, Father, for your glory, a greater passion to love others, to care for others. Convict my own heart that when I put God's golden straight edge right next to my own life, my own relationships, my own attitudes, I see selfishness at times. I see that it's crooked at times. God, cause these things to be straight in my life. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. God's people say, amen. Amen. This time, please stand up. And we will respond to God's holy and righteous word. I'll be up front. Brian will be up front. You know what the Spirit of God has been dealing with you. Whatever it is that you're going through. And reach out to God. Because he's a good God who gives good gifts to his children. He's a good God who says if we ask, that it will be given. If we seek, then we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. What is it that you're asking, seeking, and knocking on, and knocking for? Is it to get in a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior? Is it to kill selfishness? Is it to love people? Because if you're asking these things, then our great Lord and Savior will answer. That's the promise in this passage of Scripture. So this moment, trust God. Seek God. Knock. Ask. And you will find his great Savior responding. in a great way.